In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. For the last 2 weeks, at least in our household, we've been watching convention speeches from the Republican and Democratic National Conventions just about every night, like it's the Olympics or something. It's a season of political speech in which candidates and their surrogates want to draw a contrast between their party's vision of leadership and, to some extent, competing visions of America itself, so the electorate can make a clear choice. Some speeches have gone as long as 48 minutes and included careful analysis and thorough explanation of issues. Some have been much shorter. But whether you talk for 12 minutes or 48, and don't worry, I know I have closer to 12 than 48, it's important in any speech that you distill complex ideas down to simple, memorable sound bites of your message. Because if you don't, your message can get lost in a sea of words, forgotten as soon as the lights are turned off in the convention hall. Jesus and the gospel writers who sought to pass on the story of who he was and what his life is for, they understood this. They were masters of communication. That's why the Bible is the most quoted and quotable books of literature that's ever existed. But even the story of Jesus and what he taught is just complex enough and is offered to us from so many different perspectives in the New Testament and from all different perspectives of preachers over the centuries that even his message is in danger of getting lost in a sea of words. So when a group of scribes tried to trick Jesus into blasphemy by asking him which law or commandment is the greatest, the most important of all Hebrew scripture, the right answer in their minds, from their point of view, is that all the laws are equally important because all were given by God. Jesus took the opportunity in that question not to say some are more important than others, but to distill the most important teachings of both Jewish and Christian thought, the whole thing, down into a soundbite that we would never forget. He told us he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, and that if you want to sum up the law and the prophets, in other words, our entire tradition, well, it comes down to this. The first commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Over the last 2 years here at St. Francis, we've embraced a new vision and mission statement, and we've defined a set of values to keep us focused as we pursue that mission. Our vision statement and mission and these values, they're all on a separate page in our website. They're a whole page of carefully worded values that we've developed to guide us in how we do what we do. We've spent the last year discussing this vision and mission in worship and in parish meetings and reflecting on our values. You know, we gave you refrigerator magnets and things to take home to reflect on them individually, and we've had conversation about them after church. Now it's time to follow in Jesus' footsteps and the best of our political speech makers, to take all these carefully chosen words, and as a dear old friend from Oklahoma used to say, it's time to boil it all down to low gravy. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want the abundant life that he calls us to embrace, a life the world can never give us. If we want the kind of life that God desires and intends for all people, then we should love God, love others, and serve the world. Read our vision and mission and values all the way through carefully sometime. If we were to try to distill it all down and simplify, even sloganize it so we can remember what this parish is all about, and more importantly, what it is to be a follower of Jesus, no matter where we are or who we're with or what we're doing, then those seven words do a pretty good job of it, don't they? Love God, love others, serve the world. They're also not a bad summary of Jesus' great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When corporations like Apple develop mission statements, they generally do three things, really, with them. They sloganize their mission statements so they can communicate to the public in an unforgettable way what they are all about as a company. And they use them internally to help them set priorities and make decisions about where to invest their resources. And they also speak to the question of legacy. What do we want to be remembered for? How is the world better off because we do what we do? Apple's mission statement is this, the actual statement. Apple designs Macs, the best personal computers in the world, along with OS X, iLife, iWork, and professional software. Apple leads the digital music revolution with its iPods and iTunes online store. Apple has reinvented the mobile phone with its revolutionary iPhone and App Store, and is defining the future of mobile media and computing devices with iPad. In the late 90s and early 2000s, Apple sloganized that mission with their advertising campaign, Think Different. Their mission statement is entirely forgettable. But who can forget Think Different? It told the world they were innovators. And for the average programmer or designer who was sitting at her or his desk at Apple, it inspired them and gave them a clear goal. As I do my work, think different. And it spoke to that question of legacy. Apple wanted to be remembered as the company that thought different. It was brilliant. Your vestry and the Long Range Planning Committee don't claim anywhere near that level of brilliance. But we think that those seven words, love God, love others, serve the world, it's actually pretty serviceable. Thank you very much. This week and for the next 3 weeks, we'll focus our sermon time on those seven words. We'll break them down section by section, and we'll invite each of us in this parish to pray and to ponder how well we're doing as a parish and in our own lives as followers of Jesus. What does it mean to love God selflessly, not for what God can do for us, but just because God is irresistibly God? And how well are we doing with that? What does it mean to really love others? And what is God's definition of love anyway? And how well are we doing with that? What does it mean, finally, to serve the world as God would have us serve? To serve equally those who walk in our door? How well are we doing with that? No matter who we are and no matter how long we've been working at it, there's always room to grow in loving God, loving others, and serving the world. And why is it so important that we focus on this? Because God expects our faith and our commitments not to be forgettable, but to make an impact for good in this world. God has a project underway to renew the face of the earth, for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And God wants us to be involved in that project. Just before I came to St. Francis 6 years ago, I had a job working as a community organizer, really, for a coalition of churches in Hollywood. And our effort, our goal, was to bring together the faith communities with government and with the business sector in Hollywood to put our resources together and our common will toward building a permanent supportive housing project there that would house homeless, mentally ill men and women, not just for 30 days or 90 days, but permanently, with services wrapped around them that would enable them to stay in that housing and not go back onto the street as they would do through shelter after shelter and transitional housing after transitional housing, a permanent home with the resources they needed to stay put. As we talked to the parishes in particular, but also the business community and the government leadership about this vision, we asked one question to start the conversation. If, for the churches, if your church was to burn down, if the parish community couldn't rebuild and you scattered and the church was no more, God forbid, if it were to happen next week, what would the community remember you for? What would your church be known for? My prayer is that as we continue to grow in our ministry at St. Francis, that our community around us will be able to look at us and say, the next generation will be able to look at us and say, those people, they really loved God. Genuinely, you could feel it when you walked in the place. Those people, they really loved others. They weren't petty. They were deep in their concern for one another and for everyone they met. It overflowed from the place. Those people, they weren't satisfied to stay in their beautiful surroundings. They rolled up their sleeves. They got out where people are hurting, and they served. What a great thing. What a great goal for us to strive for. Let's get to it. Amen.